Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Agency Toolkit Podcast. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Lauren Shantz, who is the founder of WebGeeks. So today we're going to be talking about Lauren's experience and journey of growing WebGeeks and what he's learned along the way. So thanks for joining us today, Lauren.
My pleasure. Glad to be here.
Awesome. So Lauren, tell us, what really motivates or inspires you as an agency owner?
Well, that's a great question. We should know the reason we get up in the morning.
Yeah.
And what drives us to work long hours. For me, it's helping people, business owners or leaders in other organizations, tell their story more effectively so that through that they have the opportunity to impact their community, the world around them.
Awesome. So just creating that impact. And so that they can really do their job and create more impact.
That's right.
I love it. And so tell us your story about starting WebGeeks.
Sure. I started the company just over 30 years ago.
It wasn't a marketing agency.
Yeah, it's been around for a while. We were not a marketing agency at the time for the Canadian audience. In 1990, our prime minister was Brian Mulroney. Our finance minister was Michael Wilson. And together they hatched an idea called GST. And that would add another layer of sales tax to all our purchases. Mm-hmm. But what it did for me is that it caused every retailer in the country to have to change their systems. And as a result, a new industry was created, and that was the computerized retail point of sale industry. So in 1990, the government gave retailers some rebates and things like that to help incent them to make the moves technologically. Mm-hmm. And I started with a 65-year-old bicycle store in Kitchener, Ontario, and helped them automate and computerize their operation. Mm-hmm. And then just started developing more and more clients across the country. We ended up working with a lot of independents, but also some larger corporations, Samsonite, Aero Shirts. Even IBM opened a chain of retail stores and hired us to implement the point of sale for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was kind of the genesis of what we did. And so for the first 10 years, our client base were primarily retailers or someone in the retail distribution chain.
Yeah.
I guess the big thing that stirred, sent us down the digital road was Amazon. Mm-hmm. 2005, they started making noise, or 1995, they started making noise, and our retailers are starting to ask about what this online retailing was and whatnot. And around about 2000, that's when Amazon really started to take off. The whole dot-com thing really exploded at that time. And so we didn't know anything about e-commerce, but we learned and we worked with our clients to take them online, so the brick and mortar to the digital world. And so we're really early into it. And then quickly, the retailers realized that just because they had a store didn't mean people would come to the store unless they promoted that. And so search engine optimization, digital ads, and email marketing were the primary tools to drive people to the store beyond their own established branding and that type of thing. And since that time, we've really been driven by marketing first and technology second, even though we came from a technology first background. And so my foyer journey into digital marketing was a result of trying to help our clients take advantage of the technology and kind of learning with them. And so it's been a fun and interesting journey. And it's not necessarily what gets me up every morning, but what makes me happy during the day is always learning new things. That's the one thing about the world of digital marketing or marketing in general is every day there's something new to learn. And so that keeps my brain young and keeps me motivated.
Yeah, that's so interesting. That's a really cool story. And then so over the 30 years you guys have been in business, have you still managed to just dial in and serve the e-commerce space, or have you guys branched out from there?
Yeah, so we were for a long time known as Commerce Technology International, hence the whole technology background side of things. But in 2015, the economy was kind of rough in the Michigan, Ontario market. It was January. The skies were gray. It was icy, whatnot. I wasn't feeling overly thrilled about business or anything else. And I said to my family, let's hop in the car and drive to Florida. And without any kind of plan, we just got in the car and went. We were driving down 181, which is the Intercoastal Highway from north of Florida all the way down to the Keys. And as we came through Miami, I was looking out the left window, and I was observing all these giant king palms in front of all these large condos and office buildings right on the ocean. And it was just beautiful and inspiring. Yeah. And I looked out the right window, which was the Intercoastal Waterway, and it had all the massive mansions and the giant boats and everything sitting in the bay there. And for me, I one of our big clients for many years was the Grosse Pointe Yacht Club, the oldest yacht club on the Great Lakes, premier yacht club. So all the big money in Michigan, you know, they had their boats there and whatnot. And so I was used to working with folks with that kind of opulence. But when I was driving down that highway outside of Miami, it made these yachts in Grosse Pointe look like little dinghies. It was just such a contrast of affluence. And, and I turned to my wife and I said, you know what? I don't think we're Commerce Technology International anymore. We're now Miami Web Geeks. And I just came back with a whole different outlook. I got rid of the tie and the suit and Hawaiian shirts are now my thing. I just turned 50. Well, recently I had turned 50, and I thought it's a time we can reinvent ourselves. And so that's kind of what I did. And so I haven't opened the Miami office yet. That's still a goal in the future. So I ended up dropping Miami, and we just became Web Geeks.
Went with Web Geeks.
That's right. And so up until the COVID hit, we primarily were a digital agency. We did a lot of work for other marketing agencies. We would manage their digital clients for them.
Okay.
And then we after we did our name change, we really started to brand ourselves in the local market. In 2020, we were awarded top agency in our market and that type of thing. And but amazing. Then COVID hit, and I started thinking about, Where did I want to go? It was another one of those opportunities to kind of reevaluate life and whatnot. And I had started the journey as a technology provider and became a marketer. And I started thinking about it, and I thought, you know what? I wouldn't mind taking my marketing experience and become a technology provider again. Maybe not unlike your own journey there, Julia. So we've been working on a platform we call Brand Machine, which is to take the strategic aspects of what we've learned as a technology marketing company and agency over the years and try and boil them down to, into systems and methodologies and reasons why to do the different types of marketing activities and try to automate some of that and provide structure for companies that they don't necessarily have a big marketing department, but they have someone tasked with marketing, which is pretty much most of the organizations in Canada, to be honest, and they need help. And so not only are we able to help as an agency, but actually we can now start to bring them a tool set that will help them as well. So in that respect, it's a transformation, and I think the next few years should be very interesting.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And so where do you see WebGeeks in 5 years' time? What is your, what is your goal for WebGeeks?
Yeah, so if you had asked me pre-pandemic, it would have been multiple offices around the English-speaking world. But that's changed in light of this. And I think what it would be is to have a top platform for marketing in the construction, real estate segments and related industries. So the various trades people, mortgage people, insurance people, that type of thing. And so we're working with a large mortgage company now in developing and rolling out our platform. And then we have a number of independent clients that are using pieces of it as well. So I think we get through kind of the testing periods of the platform, get it into larger scale production, and then try to scale up to the point where we have a recognizable brand within that segment. In Canada, interestingly enough, construction real estate represents the largest part of our gross national product. So although it's a niched vertical, it's probably the widest one that there is. So we're looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I have family in the trades. And so that kind of inspires me to want to work with them without getting too bloody.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah, that's so interesting. So how do you continue to grow WebGeeks? How do you bring in more leads and then close those prospects?
Yeah, probably this is the worst time to ask that question because I've been so focused on the building of the platform that we haven't done as good a job personally for that. But our business is doing that for other people. So I'll speak in terms of our clients and then we'll make that same application to Brand Machine and WebGeeks beginning in January. So basically, we've developed a 12-point program, and it's divided into three foundational layers. The first layer is developing your game plan. The second layer is acquiring the right equipment, and the third layer is running the plays. And so if you take that sporting analogy, it's understanding where you want to get to and how you're going to get there, then making sure you've trained and you've got the best of what you need to achieve a winning position. And then it's practice, and perfecting and whatnot. So the way we do that is we try to start with the reason why. So you ask the question, you know, what gets us going each day? Well, we ask that same question of our clients, and we try to help them define that. And small, medium-sized clients, it's surprising how few have actually gone through the exercise of really understanding what drives them as a company. A lot of organizations start because the person's good at that particular trade or that particular discipline, and then they just kind of branched out from there and hired some people and whatnot. But they hadn't really thought about it in terms of, if I was starting a business, why would I do this business? And what would define me and separate me from my competition? So we have a series of exercises that we like to go through with our clients to help them flesh that out, their why statement, their purpose statement, that type of thing. And then values become very important in who you are as an organization, because I think, and you might agree with this, that more and more people are buying into an organization that they appreciate with or have affinity to. And so by Yeah. So by defining those values and making them a part of what the organization's really all about, it doesn't sound like it's marketing, but it really is, because marketing is about messaging and it's about communicating message. And if the message is product oriented, that's one thing, but it's also about the organization. For our clients, mostly business to business clients, it's all about the organization. Yes, we do drafting, or yes, we do plumbing. But what differentiates us from others, and a lot of it is that clear vision of who you are and the values under which you're operating. So
interesting.
Out of that would come, okay, what's my brand identity look like? What are my colors, my fonts, my logo, my brand statements? What's the personality of my brand? We get into things like archetypes and whatnot to help define the personality. All of that comes together in what we call a brand guide. And for most organizations that have employed a brand guide, it typically is, what's my logo and how do I utilize it? We extend that to say, what's my message and how do we utilize that?
So important. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of the first thing. Now, not every client engages to do that exercise, but one way or another, that stuff has to be fleshed out when you're going to promote yourself. So yes, whether it's formal consulting or whether it's just by rubbing shoulders with them, we try and get that fleshed up. The second part of it is, it's the old adage. If you don't know what you're shooting at, you're going to hit it every time. You need a marketing plan. And again, many companies, they say, I got to do some marketing, and they try this or they try that, but they don't necessarily bring it back to a strategic plan with intent of certain goals and certain actions that are designed to meet those goals. I was, I've had it in my mind for many years to write a book so I could get on TV shows and things like that and help promote my own brand. But the name of the book I had in mind was marketing, or digital marketing is not for dummies. And and the reality is, there is so much noise out there. If you don't have a good plan, a good strategy, then how are you expecting to succeed? And so we really want to work with our clients to define that. And one mortgage company, another mortgage company, for example, don't necessarily have the same goals. One might be wanting to retire. So if he can get his sales up, regardless of the margins, then he can sell that business for more money. But another company that might be at the at a startup phase, and so they have a whole other set of goals. So kind of defining where that business owner wants to get to, what the right ways to get there are, and then understanding what tools and what promotional vehicles can be deployed is very important.
Yeah.
So that brings us to our equipment side of things. What platforms? So if I have a problem with reputation, then I want to identify a good reputation management system and then address that problem. But if my reputation's good, maybe that's not my highest priority at the beginning. So it's trying to figure out strategically, what are the right tools? Everybody needs a website, but do they need to spend $5,000 or $50,000? I would rather take all my marketing money, put it in my pocket, and take my family to Florida. But to have the business grow, I better keep some of that money in the business and invest it wisely and promote the message. So what is the message out of the brand guide, the goals? Now you can start shaping messaging and put it on the different platforms you're working with. And then how do these different platforms interoperate? If someone wants to reach me by a message on Facebook, can my system bring that in, and can I work with that in my marketing system? Or if they want to get a hold of me by phone or by a form on my website, how do those things interoperate? And so there's this whole integration component of laying out a good marketing platform or marketing stack. Now, the challenge we saw was, you start putting all these pieces together and you end up with 50 different products that you're working with, all these subscriptions. Well, you probably wouldn't have 50, but a dozen different products, you know, whether it's CRM, ad management platform, social media publishing platform. You end up with all these different pieces, and you have the subscription rates, first of all. Then you got to have someone that's trained on how to use all the different pieces. And then you got to figure out how to make messaging coherent across all these platforms. That problem is what drove us to start seeking out the Brand Machine solution, where in one platform or one or two platforms, you could get the lion's share of your marketing kind of wrapped up and interoperate. And
interesting.
It's idyllic in certain respects, but since COVID and everybody working from home, the technology side of things has really exploded. And now there's so many tools that have come to market that we can start integrating and build this kind of omni-channel type approach, not only for the large organizations who have been doing that type of thing for a while, but it's for smaller organizations.
Yeah.
And then for those organizations that would like help running the campaigns, that's the agency side of the business.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Interesting. So yeah. I love how you guys really start and you force your clients to get really crystal clear on what their goal is. You know, you help them to find that clarity.
The better they can do that, generally the better the outcomes. There's nothing worse, and you know this from your own experience, I'm sure, is a client says, I don't have enough sales. Get me more sales. So you say, okay, let me try this and that for you. And then they come back and say, well, you didn't get me enough sales. I'm going to go try somebody else. The problem in that regard is they haven't defined what is enough sales, what kind of sale, who's that audience you want to look for. Are there certain products you sell that actually aren't the best ones for your seller? Are there other ones that are more profitable?
Yeah.
You know, is there a certain geography, whatnot? If you don't define those things and help the client to do that, then the reality is you and I, as we're delivering services, think we're doing a great job. And we probably are. But we missed the target because we didn't aim at the thing that the client's aiming at.
It's not in line with what their goal really was.
Exactly. So I'd love to say we've been the best agency in the world. We haven't. We've sucked sometimes. We've been good sometimes. But I think the common ground between those is the closer we can define the goals and the better communication and ongoing communication we have with the client seems to be the difference between a client that we work with for a few months versus a client we work with for a few years.
Ooh, that's good. Finding their goal and making sure the communication is dialed in. That's the difference between working with a client for a few months versus a few years.
Yeah. The other thing too is they'll trust you with, so the third level in this is running the plays. So what are the plays? This is your search engine marketing activities, ads on Google, good positioning in the business directories and Google My Business. It's search engine optimization. It's the reputation, the reviews, and that type of thing. So that all comes under search engine marketing. So there's those activities. Then there's the social media marketing. So that's posting good content on the right channels. It's reaching out and building connections with people. It's creating community with the right people. It's running ads on the social platforms. It's doing things like we're doing today, the podcasting, where you can develop your brand and distribute it through social channels, that type of thing. And then more and more, the marketing companies call it the lead generation and actually getting into the sales part of things. So for years, there's been a big differentiation between marketing, creating brand awareness and driving interest in the brand, and then sales, which is about connecting with specific clients and converting them from an interested prospect to a loyal customer. I think today those things have become very blurred. And when a smaller company hires you for marketing, they really mean get me more leads. And so lead generation is becoming a part of that. So what are we doing on LinkedIn? How do we integrate the channels to and the CRM so that we can communicate more effectively with people? Automations are becoming a big part of things now. So how can we take redundant tasks, automate those so the customer doesn't fall between the cracks and I don't have to spend as much on people and in my company. And so that piece of it is there. And then the fourth piece of that would be analytics. If you can't measure your results, it's really tough to fine tune. And marketing and sales is about always trying to improve the way you present your message, the message that you're actually presenting, the targeting, and then your follow-up skills and that. And so analytics, measuring the performance in all these different channels and promotional activities allow us to become better and better with our marketing. And so collectively, that's what we try to bring to our clients. And collectively, that's the system we're trying to build for our clients as well.
Very good. That's awesome. And I have a question for you.
Yes.
So what's one automation you've put in place in your agency that has helped save you a lot of time that you would like to share with our listeners?
Yeah, for us. Okay. So for us, for me personally, I'm big picture. You may have gathered that a little bit from the conversation. Mm-hmm. I love the inventing of the system, but you wouldn't hire me to be the person operating the system because I'm not disciplined enough to every day make sure I look at these things, every day follow up with these things, every day, you know, take these actions. Fortunately, yes. In the company, I have some people that are driven that way more.
Exactly.
But me personally, I'm no good at it. So, and I don't think many business owners are, quite frankly. A business owner is driven by big vision, by the big goals, the big relationships, those types of things. So those organizations tend to be more successful when they bring in place people that are better at day-to-day ops. Well, it's those day-to-day things then that have been weak points for me. Like if a client calls in or a prospect calls in, do I get back to them right away? You know, the expectations people have is if they call, they want to talk to someone now. Well, that's not practical all the time. So
yes.
We have automations now that they'll take that call. They'll automatically send an email or if it's a call, they'll automatically text back the customer, say, hey, sorry we missed your call. We're getting one of our staff to call you right back. Do you mind if we text you here? And so
that
initial contact with that client's not missed now because the system makes sure it gets dealt with. And then it sends a notification to me or to the salesperson or whatnot and says, hey, this person just called in. Can you get on the line with them? If they called in and they left their mobile number, our team member can do a text message immediately. And so there's not, well, I have to wait till I get in the office to make a call. That's gone. We can deal with people immediately. And text gets you right to the person you want to work with. So those things can happen pretty cool. The other thing is on the prospecting side, if you have people calling for you, trying to make appointments and that type of thing, those people spend a lot of time getting answering machines and things like that. So we have some automation that actually, if they see us an answering machine, the technology will essentially hang up the call with our agent. They can go on the next call, but the system will drop a pre-recorded voicemail on that system. So there's a contact made, and it improves the effectiveness of the call setter's role or the prospector's role. So those are just two of many, many things that we've been doing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so cool. Yeah, any way that you can be saving time and becoming more efficient is super valuable as an entrepreneur.
And better at being responsive to that prospect or customer. You know, we want to treat them
so
as
important.
Valuable because they are.
Yes.
And if we can put some things in place that make us more responsive, more attentive to their needs, it's certainly going to help develop that relationship better.
Of course. Yes, I agree. Awesome. So we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly. But first, we have the Fast Five, which are five rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
Yep. Go for it.
All right. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
19 years old, read Search for Excellence, Tom Peters, and then followed up by Passion for Excellence. Why that's important is because I'm not a reader. I'm audio. I learn through hearing.
Right.
But that book grabbed me so much because in the workplace I was in, I wanted to make a difference. And that was the first time I was really exposed to how big corporations use the average person in the organization to make a difference. So, and then that's been kind of my thing from that point on is how can I make a difference?
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And what does your morning routine look like?
I know what it's supposed to be and what it is sometimes differ. But I do want to get up at a reasonable hour. I want to spend some time in devotions and Bible reading. I love my wife, so I want to spend a little bit of time walking and praying with her. And then I want to get into work. Sometimes, though, I don't get up as early as I want, and I jump into work, and I miss the important things. So
yes.
As I get older, I'm trying to get more disciplined about those things.
Very good. No, that's good. Mm-hmm. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Yeah, there's a few, but I think one of the ones I was most impressed by lately was the folks at the Green family at Hobby Lobby, and he wrote kind of a biography on the forming of that company. They're the largest craft store chain in the U.S., and he talked about his efficiencies and what made them make decisions on what they would create in-house versus buying from vendors and things like that. But more than that, as a Christian, it was important to me see someone that's at the kind of the top of their success and basing their business on Christian values and giving back and treating their staff with love and those types of things, and yet able to build an impressive organization. So I think that was one of the ones that really impacted me most in the last couple of years.
Good. And what is your favorite online tool?
Brand Machine that we're building.
Awesome. I can't wait to check it out.
Yeah. So give us another month or two and we'll be starting to tell everybody about it. But
exciting.
Yeah. I like building things. And so for me, it's fun to build this and work with our clients and see how it does make a difference for them.
Of course. Very good. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Good financial management.
Great tip.
I did not get that as a young person through my dad. He was very good at trying new things and risk taking, and so I learned all those things. But I wish I would have learned how to manage money early on, and that's been the biggest challenge is in business. The more successful I got, sometimes it was the worst time financially because I didn't have the disciplines to manage money properly. Mm-hmm. And so I think if I was to start all over, my first hire would be a good financial person.
Interesting. Okay. Very good. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Lauren. It was a pleasure to have you on the show and learn about your story of starting and growing WebGeeks. So thank you for joining me for today's episode.
Oh, my pleasure. And I wish you well with your ventures as well, Julia.
Thanks so much.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.